I will be honest with you, there's a lot of patients that hop around. And I like to have that challenge of like, okay, this is the last place you're going to be because I'm going to make you better. And I'm going to tell you why, what is happening, why it's happening, and how we can fix it.
Welcome to That's Derm Good. I'm Janelle Ball, and I'm excited to bring you thought-provoking conversations about biologics, specialty medications, treatments, and so much more. I'll be chatting with some amazing guests about access, affordability, and advocacy. You're really going to enjoy this show.
Welcome to That's Derm Good. Today, my guest is Renata Block. She is a board-certified physician assistant specializing in dermatology for over 20 years. Thank you so much for joining me, Renata. This is so amazing to have you on. I've been seeing you on social media lately, and I started following you because I just loved your post, and your personality on camera is just so fun to listen to you and hear you talk about everything that you're passionate about. So let's talk about where you started. What even made you decide to get into dermatology?
Okay, so ever since I was little, I've always loved chemistry, biology, figuring things out, right? Mm-hmm. But I also was a very visual person. I'm very, very visual. And I think it's a great combination because when the patient comes into the office, it's a very visual diagnosis, right? But you have to take it a step further and dig deep. So it's skin deep, right? Because what is happening from within the body is actually causing the skin disease. And that's what I love figuring out for the patient.
Yeah, it's so crazy. You never really think about that, you know, unless you've got, you know, skin disorder or like eczema or something like that. Then you start thinking, okay, what do I need to do to get rid of this eczema? Do I just put a topical cream on? Or then you start doing a little bit more research and finding out, oh, it might have something to do with, you know, what's going on with, you know, my environment and things like that. So it's really interesting.
So I think it's a synergistic approach. You know, there are certain foods that can definitely exacerbate skin diseases, like inflammatory foods, which we are also learning. So exacerbating eczema, psoriasis, even acne, right? Mm-hmm. But it's also, you know, a synergistic approach in taking care of the skin, putting on that cream and being consistent with that, right? Because you're taking the care of the body from inside out and outside in. But a good example is like stress, right? Mm-hmm. Like a lot of times that chronic stress that we experience causes like this chronic inflammatory response in the body. And how much can we work on reducing that to really overall affect our overall health, right? Not only our skin, but our mental mind, our quality of life. So really, you have to look at it as a synergistic approach.
Yeah, absolutely. So what is your favorite thing to treat in dermatology? Do you like the challenge or?
So I love the challenge. I will be honest with you. There's a lot of patients that hop around. And I like to have that challenge of like, okay, this is the last place you're going to be because I'm going to make you better. And I'm going to tell you why, what is happening, why it's happening, and how we can fix it. But I can't do it alone. Okay. Mm-hmm. I could give you the tools, but you got to make it happen. And we're going to do this as a team.
Right. And why do people hop around so much?
I think they get frustrated. I think there are many aspects to that. I think, you know, when you go to a clinic and you get a prescription, there's a lot of information coming at you and you get overwhelmed. And that's just normal human response, right? But I think there may be an intimidation like, oh, should I call them and ask them? Or, hey, this prescription's too much money. I'm not going to get it. I'm not going to go back because I didn't use it. So I see a lot of that happening. And I think that conversation has to happen at the first visit and really lay that foundation and saying, hey, I'm going to give you XYZ, but XYZ may not be obtainable to you for many reasons. Okay. Maybe cost, or maybe it's not available anymore in your area and we have to order it and takes 2 weeks to get it. Right. And you don't want to wait 2 weeks. Right. So there's really that open dialogue that needs to happen at the office visit. And I try to establish that on the first day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, everybody wants everything instantly. And, you know, that's where it can be difficult, especially when you're treating skin. I'm sure patients are coming in, they're like, I just want a quick fix. Can you just give me a cream and make it go away or fix my skin? And this is not a video, so people can't see your beautiful face, but your skin looks absolutely flawless. And when you think of dermatology, most people come in and they're like, I want to look like you. I want my skin to be perfect. And what do I do to fix this right now?
Yeah, this is 20 years in the making, just so you know. But you know, you're absolutely right. And we're guilty. I'm guilty of it too, right? Mm-hmm. Like I'll do something and I'll be like, nothing happened. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm telling my patients to wait and I'm being impatient with a certain thing, right? Mm-hmm. So we really have to lay that ground in the beginning. It's like, this is going to take 3 months to work. You know, right. You've had this for 10 years. Give me 3 months. Three months is nothing compared to the 10 years that you've had this disease. So let's do this together.
Right. So what do you feel like you see the most of in your office? Is there a lot of like chronic conditions or do you feel like there's a lot of skincare, acne, things like that?
I mean, acne is huge. Rosacea is huge. Dandruff is huge. Eczema, psoriasis. I actually see a lot of hidradenitis suppurativa. And this diagnosis has been around forever. I mean, we've been treating it forever. But I applaud like the pharma companies. I applaud the medical professionals that are really getting out there and educating the public of what this is. Because a lot of times people don't know what they don't know. And they don't know they even have it. They think, oh, I have this abscess and it keeps coming under my arms. But they really never had a diagnosis. They just think it's a nuisance and part of life. So I feel that community outreach is so important in driving these people into the clinic to get treated right away, especially for a diagnosis like that. Because the sooner you treat it, the better outcome. You are going to prevent the severity of the disease. And once it gets to that third stage, forget it. It's very difficult to manage.
Yeah. And I think that information is, I guess, is widely available now because with social media and things like that. But I feel like I've even started to see more commercials on HS. And, you know, I feel like that really wasn't something that was talked about very much. And, you know, now maybe because there's more biologics out.
The thing is, we're understanding the disease more. We're learning again. It's beyond the skin, right? Mm-hmm. It's this whole chronic inflammatory response, and the immune system just plays this ginormous role in this cascade of events that eventually lead to this disease. But again, it's multifactorial. We're noticing that it's higher prevalence in African Americans. It's higher prevalence in people who are obese and who smoke. So again, it's looking at that entire picture to help manage a disease.
Yeah. So where do you get most of your information? How do you learn about all of these diseases and new things that are coming out?
Congresses. I also love roundtables. I love meeting with my colleagues out because we talk about cases. When you share your case studies and you have an open conversation with your colleagues, you really gain a lot of pearls. And I've been doing this for 20 years, but every single day I am learning. And that is what all providers should do, is never stop learning.
Mm-hmm. It's so true. And it just makes it better for everyone else because the more knowledge that you have, the better you're able to treat your patients.
Right.
So you were the past president of the SDPA?
Yeah. 2021-2022, I was the president of the SDPA. I am now the chair of their nonprofit Dermatology PA Foundation. And that really is more that community outreach, right? Mm-hmm. Like derm PAs teaching the community on skin diseases, but also what derm PAs do.
Wow. I love that. Yeah. So you're able to teach the community. So, I mean, how do you do that?
So we developed a program called Talks in a Box, and pretty much the SDPA members, which we're almost up to 5,000, so exciting, are able to request a lecture. So if they want to go to a local high school and lecture about Acne 101, they are able to request the Acne 101 PowerPoint, and it's all made up for them. And pretty much they say, hey, I'm going to high school XYZ on day 1, 2, 3, and I want to present this Acne 101 lecture. And we're like, okay, go ahead and download it. It's all set for you. And all you have to do is just review it and you got your presentation.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's exciting. I mean, we're in the process of rolling them out, with the first one coming out in February. So again, it's something that the dermatology PA doesn't have to reinvent the wheel. Like, right, it's already going to be there for them. And pretty much we are going to be updating information as it comes in. So if there's any kind of new treatments, then we'll just add them to the slide deck.
Right. I mean, I feel like that is so needed, especially when you're, you know, when most young kids are getting their information off of social media, off of TikTok, off of Instagram. I mean,
it's painful.
It is.
Let me just tell you, I just posted, and I will do a series, 9-10-year-olds going to Sephora and the Sephora employees recommending products that are not designed for their skin. They want the products because they're trending and they're cute or whatever. They smell nice, but they're not understanding the why. And the Sephora employees are salespeople, right? And they're going to be like, absolutely, use this BHA, AHA on your perfect, beautiful skin at 10 years old. And the next thing I know it, they're coming into the clinic because they're drying out and they're getting acne. Well, guess what's causing it, right? They were perfect before they even started all those products. And I just posted a picture of my friend's 10-year-old with a whole cabinet of products. Like, she has more products than I do. And it's why? What's your why? And I don't think she can answer that. I don't think the 10-year-old can answer that. And I think more education needs to be out there.
Absolutely. I mean, I've got a 9-year-old. I mean, and I'm trying to teach her about good, healthy skincare. And, you know, I mean, now granted, she's like, do I need to put moisturizer on? What is that? You know?
So I'm like, listen, adults argue with me as well with moisturizer. So it's okay. But we gotta get out there and educate the people about moisturizer. But right? Yeah. They don't understand the why.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's good to get a good, healthy routine started early, but that's the key. It's got to be a healthy routine. It can't be, you know, because they watch some TikTok and now they want to, you know, use Korean skincare because it's because it's trending, you know.
It's trending, right? Why are you using it? Because it's trending. Well, no. That excuse doesn't work for me. I'm sorry.
I love that though, you know, just getting out and teaching these kids. I mean, there's so much stuff that they're taking out of the schools now. So, and this is probably a whole nother podcast episode, but I love that though. It makes so much sense. And I want to make sure that younger kids are, you know, able to get good information from, you know, reputable resources and, you know, things that actually make sense and that
I
are.
Agree. You know what? You're right. I have to go to the fourth graders now. I got to start at third grade.
Yes.
I got to do a patient education deck at third grade and go to the third graders and start educating them on skincare 101.
Right. Hey, that could be a good education session. And then, you never know. You might have some future physician assistants and doctors and all of the.
I agree. Yeah, I agree. I actually had, you know, I've been doing this for 20 years and I've had patients that grew up with me and that wanted to become a dermatology PA. And the next thing I know it, they're, you know, ready to go to college and they want to shadow me. And it's like, oh my God, I've been taking care of you since you were 6. I love this. I just absolutely love it. So it's so good. You know what? You don't know who's watching you. Right. Mm-hmm. You don't know who's watching you. You don't know what impression you're making on people. And listen, you know, everybody is special. Everybody has something unique to bring to the table and just be aware that people are watching.
Absolutely. So when you talk about things that happen on your skin, okay, let's talk about gut health. And I know you talk about that a lot. Mm-hmm. And I'm so intrigued to hear about prebiotics and probiotics and how that affects your skin.
you know what? There's more robust research on how the microbiome can impact our overall health, specifically the skin. And an altered microbiome has been found in skin with people with eczema, hidradenitis suppurativa. And research is finding that the gut dysbiosis can lead to that chronic inflammatory response, which can be an exacerbation of these chronic diseases such as eczema, psoriasis, acne, and other inflammatory diseases. And recently it's been found that the microbiome starts in utero. Anything that I recommend, I always say, talk to your healthcare provider, right? But expecting mothers, like they're recommending maybe a pre-probiotic during pregnancy or postnatally, can really impact the microbiome of the child and prevent like severe eczema, especially if the mother has it.
Wow. I mean, that's...
there's more research, obviously, that is needed, but it's an exciting time. And I have such passion about it. I actually brought a prebiotic to market because of it. And it's just such an interesting topic. And again, it stems from within the body, like how powerful our body is from the inside and how powerful our gut is in regards to giving us balance.
Right. That makes so much sense. So what is the best form of getting that? Because I see, you know, tablets, I see capsules.
So always understand the why, right? Why are you purchasing this? Are you understanding? So you have to think there's prebiotic is what feeds the good bacteria. So you're providing the fiber or the nutrient dense substance to allow the healthy bacteria to thrive. And that's what a prebiotic does. A probiotic. Now, there are different strains of probiotic that are known to help certain skin diseases. So that is something that you as a consumer really have to look at. Your why am I taking this specific probiotic? What is it going to do for me? So you really have to look at the strain of bacteria that you are consuming, because a probiotic is pretty much putting in the good bacteria back into the gut. So you have the prebiotic feeding that good bacteria and allowing it to thrive, and the good bacteria is remaining in the gut and getting rid of the bad bacteria.
Okay, that makes sense. So I was looking up blue spirulina.
Yeah, so that's my product. The blue spirulina actually has been around for centuries, right? And blue spirulina is actually a component. It's called phycocyanin, and it is the nutrient part of spirulina. So when you have spirulina, it's a blue-green algae. So there is a process that extracts the blue out, because really that's where all the nutrients lie. And it's, like I said, it's nutrient dense. It's a great prebiotic. It's a superfood, and it's just a powerful antioxidant. So we use antioxidants on the skin, but this is a great antioxidant to take orally and give your body the antioxidant to fight the free radical damage that happens as we age, right? As we have chronic stress. And it's also going to help provide that immunity boost, because you're feeding the gut the good bacteria, right? Or the good bacteria with the superfood, right? So you're feeding the good gut bacteria to survive and really prevent that dysbiosis.
Wow. So, and this can be, anybody can take this.
So, you know, again, I always tell people, talk to your healthcare provider. Blue spirulina, some people cannot take. People with rheumatoid arthritis, multiple sclerosis, lupus, it can actually exacerbate those conditions, right? I've have given it to people who are on biologics. Biologics lower your immune system, right? They take this and they have a balance. And it's been working. It's been working with my patients. And again, it's something that you need to talk to the healthcare provider with any supplementation, with any nutraceutical. I always recommend that.
Right.
Because we don't know what we don't know. And knowledge is power. So knowing the why of your taking, then you will be able to pick the right product and have optimal health.
Right. So when patients are taking it with a biologic, what does that do? Does that clear their skin faster? Does it
so,
like...
So No, pretty much when you're taking a biologic, you have to think of what a biologic does, and not all biologics. Let's just pick the ones for psoriasis. A lot of them can lower the immune system because you have to think of what psoriasis is. It's an immune cascade that's working on the TNF, and you're inhibiting things and you can be more vulnerable of getting sick. So right. A prebiotic like blue spirulina is a superfood. So what are we doing? We are providing the gut the nutrients needed to help the good bacteria thrive, right? So when you have good bacteria in the gut, and then you take a probiotic and you're replacing good bacteria, then your immune system is going to be up. Because we're finding that gut dysbiosis leads to chronic inflammatory responses that can lower the immune system.
I feel like everybody's got that story and has a family member or somebody that they know that's close to them or somebody that's experiencing like atopic dermatitis or some eczema. And so I've got a family member that is really young. And when you were saying, when you take this, when you're pregnant, and that makes a difference on the baby when they're born to help preventing.
Again, this is research at its infancy, right? And it's an exciting time. We obviously need more data and more research. I like to share what is new and upcoming, and we're going to build on that. But it's postulated that really the microbiome starts within in utero. And if a mother has severe eczema and you want to prevent your child of getting severe eczema, this may help. This may help prevent that severity. Will they still get eczema? Probably, right? But maybe the severity will be 10 notches down from what the mother experienced. And we don't know. I mean, there's more research to be had, obviously, but this data is hot off the press and it's exciting.
It is exciting. I'd love to hear new things that are available to help, and especially things that are good for you, you know, not just taking another medication. It's something that is, you know, more natural, I would say. You know, there's a lot of people that don't want to take prescription medication because they're afraid of the effects.
No. You make a good point because a lot of prescriptions have side effects. And, you know, a good example is taking a biologic for your psoriasis may clear up your psoriasis, but may lower your immune system, you know, but you have to look at the risk and benefit of things. You know, the quality of life with somebody with psoriasis, the depression, the anxiety, the lack of sleep, it's just horrible. And people are intimidated by biologics because they read those side effects. But it's our job as a provider to let them understand the why of it and say, this is risk and benefit. Yes, you're taking this. There's a risk of this. But let's try to combat that. But maybe doing a pre and probiotic to help feed the gut bacteria and prevent the dysbiosis and give your immune system a boost naturally.
Right. How much time would you say that you spend counseling patients? And then also when patients come in, they don't retain all of that information. So it's like, how do you get them to retain as much information as possible?
That's a great question. And, you know, I don't want patients ever feeling rushed ever. And that is my number one rule. Like, you're in a hurry, right? You're jumping from room to room. But once I get in the room, it's like, okay, I am all yours, right? And I really don't look at the time. I spend one-on-one with them, focusing on their concern. I listen, right? I let them talk. And, you know, obviously we are on a schedule. So I feel after 20 years, I feel like I have a handle on how to manage it. But I always make sure the patient walks out informed and their questions are answered at that visit. But I also open the door and say, hey, you know what? You're going to go home. You're going to wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and be like, what did she say? It's okay to call and ask. And I may not be available, but my assistant will be. It's okay to come back next time on your follow-up and ask those questions. If you're not sure, if you're having difficulty getting something, let us know. Don't come back in 4 weeks without the prescription being like, oh, I never got it because of this. Right. No, let us know that same week, you know, and then we can reschedule to make sure you had 4 weeks of therapy. The other thing I do is I provide information, a handout. I don't like to overwhelm people because, you know, we are living in a fast-paced community and things are coming at us 1,000 miles per minute. And really just a simplified handout, a simplified information of the diagnosis, a simplified treatment plan and the open door policy.
Yeah, that's good because, you know, I feel like there is a need for that open communication.
Right. They don't know what we know. I am giving you this because I have confidence in this product and I feel like it's the best one for you at this time. Right. Mm-hmm. But there's other choices because sometimes it might not be obtainable due to cost or insurance mm-hmm. coverage. We have to pivot. And we can.
Yeah. What do you feel like are your biggest challenges when it comes to access to medications aside from the patient?
Insurance.
Yeah.
They don't make it easy. They're totally transparent here. They deny medication because it's not FDA approved for the condition. But when there is a FDA approved medication, the only one that comes out on the market, then they deny it because we haven't tried the non-FDA approved medications. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why are you putting us in this pickle? Like you didn't cover this medication 10 years ago because it's not FDA approved, nor is it FDA approved. No, right. But now there is an FDA approved medication, but you won't cover it because we haven't tried the non-FDA approved medications.
That's my question too, because I'm trying to figure that one out. And it's so difficult because insurance changes every single year. And you just never know what you're going to get.
Yeah. And it's hard to have a conversation with them. They require prior authorizations. We finally get the patient approved after 6 months, and then they change the policy and say, oh, it's not covered anymore. You have to start the process again. Mm-hmm. And this patient is suffering from severe eczema for 6 months. Mm-hmm. Their quality of life stinks. They are depressed, maybe even suicidal. Mm-hmm. Okay. And we are fighting with you for 6 months so this person can get better.
You know, that's my day-to-day. Fighting with insurance is a daily thing. And it is frustrating because it affects the patient's quality of care. And, yeah. You know, and then, you know, kind of goes back to what you were saying about, you know, patients hopping around mm-hmm. and they're not staying with one provider because they don't feel like they're getting that quality of care, but it could be barriers from the insurance company.
Right. And they don't understand that. They think that we're not helping them, right? Mm-hmm. Not understanding that the insurance is causing the barrier. It's very frustrating. And patients come in and be like, oh, this, I saw this dermatologist and they gave me a very expensive medication and I couldn't afford it. And mm-hmm. I'm like, what was the medication? They say, and I'm like, this is perfect for you. I would mm-hmm. prescribe you the same thing. So that reassurance, and it's like, they have that aha moment. They're like, you would? And I'm like, yes. This is right. why you need this. Maybe your insurance didn't cover it. Do you have new insurance? Maybe you didn't use the copay card. You know, we have to work together to make this happen. And a lot of times they'll get that prescription because they understand. It's that aha moment. Like, okay, I get it now. I get the process.
Right. Yeah. So in your practice, do you have a biologic coordinator that works with you that does your prior authorizations?
So all my practices I did except for the last one. And a lot of times, you know, I would train the assistants, like the process of it, because I'm on the front line. I'm the one who's prescribing these biologics right. and making sure they come through. So I devote a lot of my own time in addition to the biologic coordinator to make things happen for the patient. Mm-hmm. And I have very good relationships with pharma representatives to help guide me through the process, right? And allow that patient to get the prescription that they need to get better.
It's a team effort.
It is a team effort. Absolutely.
So before we close out, what are some good, healthy skincare habits? How do you figure out what is needed? And actually, the other thing I was going to ask you about is the sea moss that has been popular as well. I feel like that's almost as popular as the blue spirulina. But I've been seeing the sea moss and I'm like, okay, where all these things coming from the ocean, these vitamins that we should be taking.
Yeah. I think, you know, something that is clinically researched, mm-hmm. Scientifically based, right? I mean, you really have to look at the label And right. you really have to dig deep in regards to why this is out. Is it out because it's a quick sale and it's going to become trendy? Or is this really going to help, right? Mm-hmm. Collagen supplements have been, you know, under the microscope as well. And we, again, this can be a completely different podcast, but mm-hmm. topical collagen really doesn't do much. It's a large molecule. Really, you're wasting money. So I feel like a lot of consumers are falling for the trends. And that's why they have me. That's why they need to follow me. I started a new page called At Dermatology with Renata to debunk all these myths, right? I have Savvy Derm Diva, so you can follow me there. Seriously, we need to get the education out so the consumer can make an educated choice of the why they are purchasing something.
Yeah. Okay, so tell me that again, that Savvy Derm Diva. I've seen that one.
Yeah, Savvy Derm Diva. I'm on Instagram and Facebook with Savvy Derm Diva. And I just started Dermatology with Renata. Okay. And that is also on Instagram. I'll be doing a YouTube. So that will be there. And then Facebook as well. So right now, YouTube and Instagram with Dermatology with Renata.
I'm definitely going to follow on that.
My friend was telling me mm-hmm. that her 10-year-old, they go out and have like a Sephora party and Starbucks party. And listen, that is all fun, right? But I would love to go with them. I would love to be like their mother hen. And, you know, walk around with them at the store and like really educate them. Like, I think I yes. should start that. I think I'd be like,
yes, please do.
Renata.
Absolutely. And then let me know so you can come back and we can talk about it. I would love to hear that. That's awesome. Do you have any other good skincare habits?
Mm-hmm. Let's go with simplicity and no trending products. Okay. You need a good cleanser. You need that moisturizer and you need sunscreen. And let me just tell you, sunscreen is the best, most inexpensive product that you can purchase, apply, and reapply. I always tell people, you'll thank me in 10 years, but I think you'll thank me sooner than that.
For sure. I just told my brother, he's a pilot, and he sent me a picture on the plane, and I could see the sun in the back. I was like, make sure you're putting your sunscreen on.
It is more intense up there. So yes, he needs a higher SPF. So tell him to go with the SPF 50.
For sure. Thank you so much, Renata. I really appreciate your time.
Me too. This was awesome. Thank you so much, Janelle. And send me some trends you want me to debunk. Yes. I'm up for it.
Absolutely.
Thanks for spending a few minutes with me and listening to That's Derm Good. You can expect new episodes of That's Derm Good every week. The podcast is available on your favorite app, including where you're listening right now. Subscribe to the podcast so you never miss a new episode. Bye.